Today's other headlines start at the Texas State House, where lawmakers are moving closer to approving a controversial new congressional map that has sparked a nationwide fight over redistricting.
A quorum is present.
The legislature had enough members to do business today after Democratic lawmakers returned to the state. They had fled earlier this month to block the Republican-led body from voting on the new map. Pushed by President Trump, it would help Republicans pick up five more seats in next year's midterm elections. Democrats say it's drawn on racial lines and blame Republicans for breaking the rules by pushing a new map in the middle of a decade.
We are in a turning point for our democracy. If we allow cheating, and that's what this is, it's cheating, elections will no longer reflect the will of the people. In a democracy, people choose their representatives. This bill flips that principle on its head, letting politicians in D.C. choose their voters, and that is un-American.
In response to what's happening in Texas, California lawmakers are set to approve a new map later this week that could add seats for Democrats that would then go before the state's voters in November for approval. Other states, both red and blue, have signaled that they could follow with new maps of their own. Also in Texas, a federal judge temporarily blocked the state from requiring that schools display the Ten Commandments in every classroom. In a 55-page ruling, U.S. District Court Judge Fred Bieri wrote the displays could adversely affect the children by suppressing expression of their own religious or non-religious background and beliefs while at school. Today's decision follows similar legal challenges in Louisiana and Arkansas. The issue is expected to eventually reach the U.S. Supreme Court. Here in Washington, Vice President J.D. Vance and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth visited National Guard troops at Union Station today amid protests over their presence in the city.
Appreciate you.
The two said the forces have already brought crime down in Washington, but the visit was at times drowned out by demonstrators nearby chanting Free D.C. Standing alongside Vance and Hegseth, White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller dismissed the protesters, claiming they have no connection to Washington, D.C.
So we're going to ignore these stupid white hippies that all need to go home and take a nap because they're all over 90 years old, and we're going to get back to the business of protecting the American people and the citizens of Washington, D.C.
Their visit came after a crash on Capitol Hill this morning between a National Guard military vehicle and a civilian car. Authorities say they rescued a person trapped in the car who went to the hospital with minor injuries. The National Guard vehicle was reportedly designed to deflect roadside bombs in war zones and weighs some 14 tons. President Trump is expanding his pressure campaign on the U.S. Federal Reserve, calling on Fed Governor Lisa Cook to resign. That's after the head of the U.S. Federal Housing Finance Agency, Bill Pulte, accused her of mortgage fraud, writing that she, quote, falsified bank documents and property records to acquire more favorable loan terms. Pulte alleges that Cook had claimed her homes in both Atlanta and Michigan as primary residences when taking out loans. The Fed declined to comment on the accusation. It comes amid a broader push by President Trump to force the central bank to cut interest rates. Cook has a vote on the Fed's rate-setting committee, and her current term ends in the year 2038. Hurricane Erin is growing in size and strength as it tracks offshore along the East Coast. The Category 2 storm is not expected to make landfall as it moves north through the end of this week, but it's having a direct effect on coastal communities with tropical storm warnings from the Carolinas up to Maryland. In North Carolina, officials warn that ocean swells could rise as high as 20 feet, swamping beachfront neighborhoods. The state's governor is warning residents that rip currents and other threats are a real concern.
Folks on the coast need to take care. I want to emphasize the importance of taking this storm seriously because it's a serious storm and conditions can deteriorate quickly.
Farther north, states like New Jersey and Delaware have closed some beaches for the day, while New York City closed all its beaches to swimming today and tomorrow. Now to severe weather of a different kind. Extreme heat is descending on parts of California and the Southwest, bringing scorching temperatures that will last into the weekend. Forecasters expect the high tomorrow in downtown Los Angeles to hit 95 degrees. Just outside the city, stretching into parts of Arizona, temperatures will rise up to 115 degrees. LA's mayor is warning everyone to take the heat seriously.
These temperatures could be dangerous, especially for our most vulnerable residents, children, pets, people who work outside, unhoused Angelenos, and those with certain health conditions.
The higher than normal temperatures and low humidity will also increase the fire danger in the region. California's Governor Gavin Newsom is preemptively deploying firefighting crews and equipment to high-risk areas in the state. In the Middle East, the Israeli military said today it's moving forward with its planned operation to take over Gaza City. A spokesperson says troops have already started circling the outskirts of the city. To support that effort, Defense Minister Israel Katz approved a plan to call up 60,000 new reservists while extending the service of another 20,000 already on active duty. The buildup comes as many Palestinians have sought shelter in Gaza City, though it's far from safe from Israeli strikes. Medics say two children were killed in this house overnight.
It's a systemic and programmed plan to displace people, destroy houses, and make it a burnt land.
Meantime, Israel has given final approval for a new settlement project that would slice the occupied West Bank in two. The E1 settlement, as it's called, is significant because it would block a potential route between Ramallah and Bethlehem. The international community largely sees Israeli settlements in the West Bank as illegal. The UK and Germany have joined Palestinian rights groups in condemning the plan, saying it could derail any hopes for a future Palestinian state. Back here at home, Target is shaking up its leadership as the retailer struggles with rising competition and the lingering effects of a consumer boycott. Current CEO Brian Cornell plans to step down in February. He'll be replaced by company veteran Michael Fidelke, who is credited with overhauling Target's supply chains and expanding its digital services. Target faced boycotts earlier this year when it scaled back diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, or DEI. Today's CEO announcement comes as Target reported another quarter of sluggish results. The company's stock fell more than 6% on the day. Elsewhere on Wall Street today, tech stocks once again weighed on the broader markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average managed a slight gain of just 16 points, but the Nasdaq slipped more than 140 points, and the S&P 500 also ended in negative territory. And Judge Frank Caprio, who enjoyed a wide following on social media due to his kind approach in his Rhode Island courtroom, has died.
Now, we're talking about your father, right? Now, you're going to say guilty or not guilty? What do you say?
Guilty.
Guilty.
Caprio was the star of the reality show Caught in Providence, where he was known to deal with traffic violations and other cases with a mix of compassion and humor. His approach earned him Emmy nominations and a nickname as the nicest judge in the world. Caprio's passing was announced on social media. He had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in 2023. Frank Caprio was 88 years old. And still to come on the News Hour, the impacts of the Trump administration's potential reclassification of marijuana. The debate over allowing parents to use taxpayer money to pay tuition for private or religious schools. And the president targets the Smithsonian in an effort to rewrite parts of U.S. history.
This is the PBS NewsHour from the David M. Rubenstein Studio at WETA in Washington, and in the West from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University.